It is good to see everyone. The songs and the scripture readings didn't take long enough. I have way too much time, but that's okay. I'm good at talking. But I won't talk emptily or vainly to you all. I am glad that I have an opportunity. I have neglected Jeroboam for many, many years. And so this was a fun study for me. It was good to be reacquainted with the text over Jeroboam, which spans from 1 Kings chapter 11 through 1 Kings chapter 15, with speckles here and there in the 2 Chronicles, mainly just a name being mentioned because it covers more of Rehoboam than Jeroboam. It's not a real lengthy reading, but it is a lot of information, which is very unique to this situation. And this is a Bible class. This is not the devotional. This is the Bible class. So I'm going to start with some questions on what some of you may remember of the story of Jeroboam. What is something? Yes, sir. I have no idea what you said.
He was better constrictor than his father Solomon.
That was Rehoboam. Close. Same time frame. Jeroboam, yes, ma'am.
He set up the worshiping in Dan and in Bethel.
Yes. Very good. That's very minute factoid there. That's impressive. Anything else? Yes, sir.
He didn't want to give up, the kingship, even though God had already told him it was going to be taken from him. It's like he tried to hold on to it, whatever grasp he could. But when God says something, that's it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He wanted to hold on to the power as long as possible. But who in leadership roles usually doesn't? Anything else? James. Okay, yeah. Yeah, very good. And I was very broad in my remembrance of Jeroboam. Y'all went very minute in detail. I was remembering that he ruled the same time as Rehoboam. He was not Solomon's son. And that he had to flee from Solomon. Those were the three major things that I remembered. And that he was king of the northern tribes. But it starts in 1 Kings chapter 11. And if you turn to 1 Kings chapter 11, this is the same, or maybe it was 10, I'm sorry. It was 11. Starting verse 6. This is where I messed up last week and gave Zach the wrong passage. Y'all remember that? Okay. I told him 2 Kings. He did a great job reading 2 Kings. It had nothing to do with Solomon. It was a bad deal on my part, and unfortunately Zach had to stand up here and read the wrong passage. So I apologize for that again. But if we had read it, we would have remembered that Solomon, beginning of verse 6, Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord and went not fully after the Lord as David his father did. And he built high places and had strange wives, verse 8. Verse 9, and the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord of God of Israel, which had appeared to him twice and had commanded him concerning these things. So he had warning. You remember that when we talked about fatherhood? You remember that? And how God's the ultimate father example, and he gives warnings. Okay, he just doesn't expect us to know what to do. He gives us a warning. God gave Solomon two appearances right here. Just remember that, okay? Two appearances. But he kept not that which the Lord commanded. Wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, for as much as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes, what I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee and will give it to thy servant. Give it to thy servant. Now, let's fast forward to verse 26 of the same chapter. And Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, an Ephrathite of Zereda, Solomon's servant, whose mother's name was Zeruah, a widow woman, even he lifted up his hand against the king. Okay? It was prophesied about because of Solomon's life choices that bad things were going to be done. Not necessarily bad. God doesn't do bad things. But it wasn't going to be in favor of Solomon. Does that make sense? So, here we see prophecy fulfilled. We see later on that Jeroboam is a mighty man of valor. Okay? And Solomon saw that he was a mighty man of valor. He was excited about him and gave him charge over the house of Joseph. That's verse 28. Okay? Verse 28. So here we see Solomon's actually given some power to him, not remembering the things that God had just told him. I don't know how much time passed between the warning and this coming to fruition, but Solomon was the wisest man to ever walk the earth next to Jesus. You'd think he'd remember, right? God said, no one will be like you ever again. You're going to have all the wisdom, okay? So we continue on. And we see that Jeroboam's leaving Jerusalem and he gets caught up by a prophet. Who is the prophet? Ahijah or Ahijah or however. I don't know. It's all correct. That man did what? What did he do? And I apologize, kiddos. I was going to rip up a bunch of shirts and have you piece them back together so you'd remember this. Okay? But what did he do? What did the prophet do? I gave a hint. He tore up a tunic into how many pieces? I'm sorry? 12 pieces. Said, take 10. You get to take whatever 10. Okay? Take 10. Two are left. Why were two left? Because of David. That's why. Because of David, and we can read more about that. In fact, verse 36, and unto his son I will give one tribe that David my servant may have a light always before me in Jerusalem. Okay? To see which I have chosen me to put my name there. Okay? So he's going to get a tribe, Rehoboam that is going to get some type of leadership over a tribe, but he's lost all those other 10. Okay? Jeroboam gets them. So, is this a secret thing that just happened? Is this a secret thing? If you don't know, look at verse 40. Look at verse 40 of the same chapter. Okay? Solomon sought therefore to kill Jeroboam. The therefore is in reference to the prophecy of the torn tunic, shirt, whatever. And how Jeroboam's going to get 10 of those tribes. And it's going to be taken away from Rehoboam. Does it make a dad happy when he doesn't get to give his kids what he wants? No. So Solomon, in all of his wisdom, decides to try to kill Jeroboam. Because he forgot, apparently, what God said. You know, ultimate wisdom is knowing that what God says is what God says. There is no arguing with that. That's the end. That's the period. That's the end of the statement. It's like when you have a kid that asks why and he say, because I said so. That's it. That's all you need, kiddo. Dad said so. Mom said so. That's it. Maybe when you're more mature, we can explain the reason. Okay? But at that point in time, it's right then and there. End of story. Same with God. Same with God. All right, so was he successful in killing Jeroboam? Where did Jeroboam go? Why does everyone go to Egypt? Who else went to Egypt for sanctuary? Joseph, maybe. Joseph was kind of sold into that situation. Oh, the father of Jesus, Joseph. I'm sorry. I'm still in the Old Testament. Abraham, right? Must be something attractive about Egypt. Looks like a desert to me. But maybe it was better back then. Okay. So, verse 12, or chapter 12, we see Rehoboam is starting his reign in Judah, right? In Judah. And what does he do? We have to talk about Rehoboam if we're going to talk about Jeroboam. They're in the same storyline, okay? So I'm not trying to focus on Rehoboam, but we do need to talk about him. What does Rehoboam try to do when he becomes ruler of Judah? I'm sorry? He does try to reason with Jeroboam, but it's not just Jeroboam, it's the Israelite people too, right? What is the reason? Why are the Israelites concerned about Rehoboam? Are you going to be like your daddy? Why? What did his daddy do, especially there at the end of his days? He was a tough ruler, okay? He was a tough ruler. So they said, Rehoboam, are you going to follow in his footsteps? We plead with you, don't do it, okay? What's funny is they bring Jeroboam with them. Where was Jeroboam? He was in Egypt. Jeroboam got some courage when Solomon's dead, right? And he came out of Egypt, okay? He saw an opportunity. Rehoboam says, go away for 3 days. Let me seek counsel over these things, okay? Did he seek the right counsel? So-so?
Well, he kind of sought the right counsel. He just ignored the right counsel.
He ignored the right counsel. True. I like that. That's why the so-so hand. I get it. But he didn't listen to the right counsel, right? Who did he listen to? His peers that are just as ignorant of things as he is. Okay? So.
Wasn't the ones he grew up with?
I'm sorry?
Wasn't that the ones that he grew up with?
Yeah, it was his buddies. His buddies. Okay? What's a life lesson there, young folks? Should you listen to your buddies who've never experienced anything over those who've experienced something? Don't all answer at once. Yeah. Yeah. I have a lot of buddies from high school that, man, I would have had a lot better life if I hadn't listened to some of them. Okay? And they would have had a better life, too, if they hadn't listened to some of the things I told them to do. I mean, I'm not completely guiltless in the situation. Luckily, I started listening to those who've experienced life. We had a birthday last Wednesday, okay, in this congregation. I won't say any names, okay? But if you want to know some things about life, talk to Mr. Ditmore. Okay? 90 years. You don't think he's seen something? He's seen the water run. Not from the stone. Not that far back, folks. Okay? Okay? But it's not just a 90-year-old man that you can go talk to. Talk to someone that's got more experience than you. Okay? Here's a neat example. Yes, Daniel's older than me significantly. However, not significantly, but enough. I needed some help on a lawnmower. That man knew things about a lawnmower. You want to know what I didn't do? I didn't ask Lindsay. Okay? Lindsay has no experience with lawnmower engines. If I'm having problems, I'm not going to go to Lindsay. But she's my closest peer. She is my best friend. Okay? But wisdom says, go to the person who knows the answer. All right, so Rehoboam, wise or unwise? Unwise, okay? Kids, can you say that? Rehoboam is unwise. Anyone under the age of 18? Ready? Rehoboam is unwise. Repeat it. Great. Very good. Okay? Remember that. And a lot of you 18-year-olds are like, ha ha, I'm 18 now. I don't have to do it. You're still a kid. Okay? You're still a kid. You haven't experienced it yet. All right. Jeroboam then goes back with the people and hears the bad news of, I'm going to be harder than my dad. Okay? Do you think they were just okay with it? You think they just skipped on down the road? No. Very upset. Enough to rebel. Okay? They rebelled and they broke up the tribe of Israel. Okay? All the tribes. They broke it up. They divided it. Okay? They divided it. Who did they appoint as their king? Jeroboam. Why? To fulfill the prophecy. Okay? They saw a valiant man, a man of valor, mighty man of valor, a leader. Okay? There's only one country in the world that I've ever seen elect someone that is feeble and lost their mind. Okay? And you can think about that country all you want, because I'm not going to say what it is, but we elected a terrible leader. Okay? We didn't even go back to like our primitive mindset of choosing the big and the strong and the mighty like the Israelites did with Saul, right? He chose a weak, feeble, crazy old man. Okay? But he's our president, and we respect the office. We obey the laws until they're in direct conflict with this law. We have an opportunity to elect a new leader soon. Okay? It's not all doom and gloom. But it's just weird how we didn't do what historically people do when they're looking for a leader. Yes, sir.
And if you notice what he said there at the end, he says, what share have we in David? We have no inheritance in the son of Jesse. To your tents, O Israel. Now, see to your own house, O David. So Israel departed to their tents. They realized once he wasn't going to listen, we have nothing.
Yep. Yeah. And they had no representation. Nothing. I like that. Thank you for bringing that out. So, is Rehoboam just going to allow this to happen? Is he going to lose control over all 12 tribes willingly? No. So what's he tried to do in verse 21 through 24 of chapter 12? He gathers up warriors. Hey, we're going to war, folks. We're going to put those people back in subjection, where they belong. I'm king, the son of Solomon. I'm meaner than Solomon. Okay? So, something happens though. They don't go to war immediately. What happens? God told them not to. Through who? I'm sorry? Yes, through a prophet. Shemaiah? Shemaiah, thank you. It's like, that doesn't sound right, but I was looking for it. Thank you. Very good. All right. Brought in a prophet. Said, you're not going to go to war with your own brethren. You're not going to do it. Okay? At this point in time, was there anything more important on this earth than being a member of the children of Abraham? If you look back at Exodus, you look at Joshua, you look at all the things that they went through to get where they were, the conquest that they had gone through, the great triumphs, God's fatherhood over them, He protected them. He kept them safe. He let them grow. Okay? It was an important thing. And God still saw it as very important. He said, do not go up against your brethren. Don't do it. It doesn't last long. And how do we know it doesn't last long? We read the verse in one of the scripture readings. But I know this one over here better, which is 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 30. Anyone can read that. All their days. Always at war. Read chapter 15, verse 6, too, please, Mr. Bonner.
There was war between Rehoboam and Jeroboam all the days of his life.
And then also read verse 16 actually jumps into New Kings. But you can see there that there's also war between them again. Okay? Not Jeroboam and Rehoboam, but Asa and Baasha. They were fighting their own brethren. And they just kept doing it and kept doing it. Let's continue on. We have a little more time before we need to break. Any comments or questions thus far? Yes, Tobias. For those who may not have heard Tobias, he was pointing out that here God said, don't fight against your brethren. And yet today in the Lord's church, we see a lot of fighting amongst the brethren. And how interesting it was when Peyton put up the slide of the football stadium with members of the church, and it was 40 congregations had worked together to fill that auditorium. I think that was at Freed Hardeman, is that correct? Those who may remember that slide. When was the last time two or three congregations worked together that you can remember? It's an amazing thing when the church works together, what can happen. But we can jump on this rabbit trail. What would keep us from working together? I'm sorry?
Sin.
Okay. False teaching. Pride. Oh, man. That's the one I was really fishing for. I threw out the line. Trying to get that one. Pride. Why? Because people mess up. Right? People mess up. But pride keeps you from repenting of it. Okay? So we have a false teacher. False teacher gets brought to the table. A prideful man will not bow. But a humble man will repent. Okay? We mess up as human beings. Not on purpose, some of us on purpose, but when we're called to the table, we need to admit our fault, swallow our pride, and let's fix this situation. I think pride is the real reason why we don't see congregations come together. Now let's just say that it's not a sin that they're being proud about, it's power. The elders can't get along with each other from different congregations because they'd have to relinquish some power over their congregation when we're trying to all gather together. Who's going to host the singing if we do a singing? Ninth and Main? Well, your building's small, but we have the most people that would show up, maybe, is our opinion. Or whatever it is. Southgate puts their bid in. So on and so forth. Right? Bangs. Whoever, they say they're more central to Hamilton and Rising Star and whoever else. Who's going to host it? Well, now we got fighting. Right? It's pride. It's pride. Okay, let's go on into Jeroboam's reign because I've got 4.5 minutes before I need to sit down so we can have some more singing. Yes. Yeah, church camps are great. Thank you. Thank you. See, not all doom and gloom. Not all doom and gloom. We can work together. We can do it. All right. Let me get back into where I was. Chapter 12, verse 25 through 33. And it reads, "Then Jeroboam built Shechem in the Mount Ephraim, and dwelt therein." This is his reign. He's starting his reign here. "And went out from thence and built Peniel. And Jeroboam said in his heart, Now shall the kingdom return to the house of David. If this people goes up to sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then shall their heart of this people turn again unto their Lord, even unto Rehoboam king of Judah, and they shall kill me and go again to Rehoboam king of Judah." Okay, what's he scared of? I'm sorry?
Loss of power
caused by what? The Almighty God. That's who it is. That's why do you think people don't want to argue Bible? Because they're scared of God. They're scared of God. Some should be. But really and truly, you shouldn't be. He's a loving Father. Okay? All right. He knew that their worship of God would pull them back to Jerusalem. Okay? So what did he do? The king took counsel, verse 28, and made 2 calves of gold. Where have we seen calves of gold before? Those who forget history are prone to repeat it, or doomed to repent it, to repeat it, I think is the real quote. Okay? Exodus. Okay? Gathered up all their earrings and rings, and they built this golden calf and built an altar. It's terrible. Golden calf. And he said, "Behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt."
Read the sentence before that,
says Mr. Bonner. Whereupon the king and said unto them, "It is too much for you to go up unto Jerusalem." Don't waste your efforts. Tiring to walk to Jerusalem. It's uphill. Don't do it. You'll burn a calorie. Okay?
Really, it's too much to do what God's saying.
That's what he's saying. Yep. Okay? So, builds the 2 calves. Says that these calves brought you out of Egypt. Don't you remember? Y'all built them once already. What did the devil do? The devil just threw in a little bit of deception. Just a little bit. You're not surely going to die. You won't die today, I promise. Okay? But they're still going to die. Yes?
He was taking God's glory and giving it to a cow.
He was taking God's glory and giving it to a cow. He took something historical that maybe they remembered a glimpse of because apparently they've forgotten. Like, oh yeah, I remember the calf. I remember that calf. We all sacrificed our earrings and stuff for that calf. That's right. Deception. Okay? Now, that's reading a little bit outside of the Bible. That's an assumption on my part. But boy, does it make sense. The devil used it. He used parts of what God says, parts of the law, and deceives us. Okay? So he set one in Bethel, one in Dan. Continue on. And Jeroboam, verse 32, ordained a feast in the 8th month on the 15th day of the month, like unto the feast that is in Judah, and he offered upon the altar. So now, if you want to obey what Jeroboam says, you have to forget what's happening in Jerusalem, because we're having feasts on the same day. Okay? It's crazy, but it's not. It's brilliant. He was a very smart man. Yes. Verse 30, and the thing became a sin for the people, went to worship before the one, even unto Dan. Okay? People fell away. Because of this deed, Daniel read, what happens to his son? He dies. Okay? He dies. What happened to David's son? He died. Why? sin. You want to be a king? You better obey God, or he's going to take it from you. Maybe not you directly, but your children. And that is the end of class time. Thank you very much. I'd like to point out 5 lessons that we can learn from the story of Jeroboam. And you're probably thinking, oh man, 5? Why couldn't he have just done 3? There's only 10 minutes left, but they will be fast, I promise. The first one is that weak and insecure leaders sow division. You can't not talk about Rehoboam when you talk about Jeroboam. Rehoboam was not a leader of the people. We just talked about it. He wanted to be viewed as amazing by his peers. He wanted their favor over the people's favor. Leaders of people listen to people. It's weakness not to. Insecurity not to. You ever met someone that thinks they're brilliant? They're not going to let you think they're not. That would be an insecurity. They're afraid of not being seen as brilliant. Number 2, those afraid to lose power will often overreach to try and keep it. What's funny about all these lessons is like you can apply them right now, okay? You can apply them right now. Choose your leader, okay? You can apply it right now. What did Jeroboam do when he was afraid to lose his power? Don't answer. This is the Devo, not Bible class. Okay? He set up the altars. He set up the feast days. You want to know what else he did that I didn't point out? He set up unqualified priests. He chose poor, lowly, non-Levi citizens to be his priests of these golden calves. Why? Tell you why. There were probably a lot more poor people than wealthy people during the, you know, we see it right now. You want to be able to sway the numbers? Go after the lowly ones. Okay? Now, you put unqualified leaders in priestly positions. It's not that he chose poor people. Okay? His mentality was, I'm going to favor the poor people. There's more of them, and they'll support me in my power. But what God said he did is he put non-Levites in priestly positions. He's just letting us know what Jeroboam's thinking was. But here's the problem. Not the wealth of the person, but he wasn't a Levite. Okay? Qualifications. We choose elders, we choose deacons, we got to look at the qualifications. Okay? If you want to see someone that's grasping at straws, watch a leader losing his power. Okay? They start putting things in place to favor people that will do bad things also. Number 3, leaders set the example that others will follow. Okay? What did the Israelites do when Jeroboam started doing these things? The mighty, valiant man, Jeroboam, Solomon, gave him power when he was in reign. They followed him. They did exactly what he was doing. Okay? When you take on a leadership role, we've been training our young people to take on leadership roles, not just on Wednesday nights in the summer, but we focused classes on it with Lads to Leaders. If you think it's just about the Bible Bowl, I'd love for you to come back there and sit with us. Because we're trying to develop leaders of the church so that when our leaders right now have to step down, age, death, moving, whatever it may be, we have someone here to help this congregation out. Okay? We are trying to develop leaders that the congregation can follow and not be in transgression with God's law. Know that when you take on a leadership role, check yourself so you don't lead others astray like Jeroboam did. Number four, bad leaders tend to reap what they sow. You want to see leadership fall apart? Watch Jeroboam, always at war with Rehoboam. Watch how he starts really grasping, trying to keep that power. Okay? Look at our administration in America right now. They are grasping at straws. And guess what's happening? Target's losing billions of dollars. Okay? Disney's losing billions of dollars. The people that no one wants to listen to, they're putting it into action now. It's like, fine, you won't give us the microphone so we can be as loud as your proteges? That's fine. We'll take our money elsewhere. In a capitalistic environment, money talks. It really does. Bad leaders tend to reap what they sow. Our administration's watching the world fall apart all around them right now. We have a president whose son is under trial right now for all the terrible things he's done. And what we're finding out is that the president was involved too. They get what they get. And if they don't get it this lifetime, they're going to get it in the next. Number five, and our final one, God is sovereign over all kings and earthly rulers. I'd like to turn to Romans chapter 13, verse 1 to really stamp this into the ground. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. Like I mentioned earlier, that man, whether I like him or respect him as an individual, is still our president. I need to respect the office. God put him there. Why do you think he put him there? You want to know what Christians do when times get tough? They turn back to God. Look at the Israelites. It's historical. We can try to fight it all we want, but it's not true. We will not stay away from God when we are threatened. Those who believe in God will go right back to him, and they'll come back stronger, and they'll start making a difference. There's a reason why this president's administration is there. It's forcing us to stand up finally instead of relaxing in our recliners. We're going to start doing stuff. If you haven't already, you need to start. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained by God, is the rest of that verse. Good or bad, God puts them in there. What do you think the Israelites thought of the Persian Empire and all of their leaders? They probably hated them just as much as we hate tyranny in our own culture. But you know what happened? It allowed an avenue for a new appreciation for God. The remnant that got to come back to Jerusalem and build the walls and build the temple, man, they were excited. They were working, and it made an influence. The people around Jerusalem started hearing about the Israelites. What did they try to do? Stop them. Were they successful? No. Guess what probably happened? It probably made a huge ripple. When we do what God says to do, we make a huge ripple. People will hear us. People will see us. We'll be a good example. We'll be a really good example. Those are the five lessons that I pulled out of Jeroboam. There's a lot more than that in there. Do you know also that there is a verse in the story of Jeroboam that says that David's throne will be afflicted, but only for a little while? Only for a little while. We can read in Acts chapter 2 how Jesus is the heir, the seed of David. David is dead. How can he be on the right hand of God? This is Peter talking, okay? Acts chapter 2. You can read along as I paraphrase, okay? You killed the Son of God. God raised him up in 3 days, and he's on the right hand of his throne now. And the people got pricked in their hearts. I don't know what that means. You ever been pricked in your heart? You ever just feels like someone took the air out of you? That's what happened to them. That fear of messing up, that being called to the table, pierces. That's the piercing of the heart. And there were those that asked, what do we do now? We can't bring him back. We can't do anything. We did what we did. What do we do now? Peter said, Acts chapter 2, verse 38, repent and be baptized. Okay? That's what he said to do. It's easy. The repentance can be hard, but it's a simple statement. It's not complex. You can understand it. He didn't use words that are too big for us to understand. It's perfect English. What? 8 words? Tops? When he says, men and brethren? If you include the introduction to the statement? No? It's a piece of cake to understand. We got to repent and be baptized. If there's someone here that has not repented of their sins, they know they're living in sin, and you haven't changed your life, you know Jesus is the Son of God, you believe it, you've heard the message today, you know that a change has to be made, just like those Israelites knew, or the Jews, what we're calling them now in the New Testament, knew that they had to change something. They had to try to correct the problem. Well, here's the correction. Repent. Repent of those sins and be baptized. Okay? It's not too late yet. Tomorrow may be too late. 10 minutes from now may be too late. But it's not too late right this instant. And I want to encourage you to come forward when we stand and sing. And if there's some of us that have been baptized, and we've let our pride get in the way when we were called to the table and we're still living in sin, like what we talked about earlier, let's push that pride to the side. Let's repent of that sin. It may be a sin that we've repented of twice now, 3 times. It's a struggle that we always have. But we can't ignore it and continue in it. If you need those prayers to help you with strength in that regards, we also invite you to come forward as we stand, all right? We'll stand and sing now.